looks like we have most of our students back. I know quite a number probably will still be coming in tonight, and we're at that time of the year. We have parents here and others. We're thankful for your presence. We want to urge our students, our new students in particular, if you haven't had a chance to fill out a visitor's card yet, we'd love to have you fill out one of those. You may have to find one in the back of some of the pews. We'd like to be sure to have your contact information. A lot of things are happening. We sure hope that all of our students can be back on Wednesday. We'll have some events after services that we'd like you to be a part of, and we're actually going to have an orientation on Wednesday. I don't want to take our announcements from our announcer, but there's some things up front I want us to be aware of, and we're very thankful for your presence. Very thankful to have Anna Price back with us. Very, very encouraging answer to prayer. Thankful she's going to be with us for this semester. And again, a lot to rejoice in, very thankful. This morning, I want to do a lesson, really, for our students, particularly those that are new to Auburn, maybe leaving home for the first time. I want to talk about being a Daniel. You know, it's interesting, as we consider college life, it's a huge step in life. And really, life has a bunch of huge steps. As parents, we prepare our children for this occasion. And those of you who finish college, then you may go off and you may move to another state, another location. It's very similar. There's occasions where you step out of your comfort zone. And as parents, we try to prepare our children for these events. Proverbs 22:6, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. We are a bundle of choices. Who we are today is a result of choices we've made. And I will tell you, our parents have a great impact upon those choices. If you're going away from the home for the first time, they've had a very huge impact, but now you're going to be making choices. And what we want to do, all of us, we want to do this because we love God. The great challenge, particularly in college time, is to make faith your own. I can remember that's when I really came into making faith my own. I made decisions because of what I saw in the scripture and not just because of what my parents said. I'm hoping this can be an occasion for you to grow and to take a stand. But in a very big sense, this is a sudden change. You're no longer going to be having your mama's cooking. You're going to have a whole different group of people you're going to be around. They're going to be those in classes and schedules and things to go. If you don't make it, well, they'll go on without you, and there are consequences. It's quite interesting. I can remember the first time I started living on my own. It was somewhat of a culture shock for me. But a bigger shock was relationships. I want to talk to you this morning a really simple lesson. I could have given Joshua as an example, but I think Daniel would be an example. But let's quote from Joshua. Whenever we go through a phase of life where things change, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to see what is real. It's an opportunity to make good choices, but it's also an opportunity to make the wrong kind of choices. And I like how Joshua challenged the nation of Israel in Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning about Daniel and take a few simple components of his life. And I think you can find application for what you're facing today. First off, Daniel, before he faced this great change, he determined that he was going to serve the Lord in all things. Are we got a microphone problem? Okay. It is on. Okay. Nothing like technical issues, but I can get here, and sometimes I'll slap it if you get too sleepy. I'll wake everybody up. That worked, didn't it? You say yes, okay. All right. I've got these tricks. You think I do it by accident, don't you? So talking about Daniel. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1, let's read about what he faced. Now, could you imagine being this? Here, another country comes in, takes your land, and next thing you know, you're taken out of here. Daniel 1:1. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand and some of the articles of the house of God. Now skip to verse 3. Then the king instructed Ahazapaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. Young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who have the ability to serve in the king's palace, that whom they may teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. Basically, they took certain people with certain ability and they took them from home. And most of them will never see home again. Now notice they took people of ability. When I was reading this, I was thinking that they had a good ACT score, you know. They made the entrance exam, so to speak. They were taken away from their home and away from their land, never to return. Could you imagine being there with Daniel? Now, in a country that did this, I want to tell you, the Babylonians, they didn't mess around. If you're a failure, you die. You have an opportunity, but at the same time, you're suddenly, overnight, faced into a strange culture. A language you're not familiar with, you're going to have to learn it. They're going to have different kind of food. There's going to be different ways. You know, and one of the things that Daniel could have done, he could have said, well, you know, maybe God's way is defeated. There are going to be times, my brethren, you come from a situation, you have a good home life, a good church, you're familiar with a lot of people, and sometimes you go to the big college. All of a sudden, you may realize that your ways in serving the Lord is a minority view. And I think a lot of Auburn, I appreciate the university here. I appreciate its culture. I think it is very favorable in many ways toward those of faith. But it's still the world. And so here, you're going to be maybe like Daniel. You're going to face that the views you've been taught and the views you hold, you are a minority. What do you do? Daniel would have known that this captivity came as a result of God's work. God was not defeated when Israel was taken because God warned from the very beginning in Moses' day to the present, like Deuteronomy 28, written by Moses, says, the Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the ends of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand. Here Deuteronomy 28 talked about being captive. And then Jeremiah, in that very day, there was the prophecy made. It says, this whole land shall be a desolation, Jeremiah 25:11. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Here, very specifically, God said he's working a plan. This nation is going down by a plan, but the nation is going to come back from captivity. So someone like Daniel, while this is tough, he's the one having to leave his land. He's the one being pulled out away from his family, probably never to see them again. He still knows there's a God. And I want to urge you, there is a God. What you have been taught from the scriptures is right. And you have a great opportunity coming to a university like this to do great good for the Lord's cause. Here's what Daniel did when he's pulled out. Here's what he did in his heart. Look at verse 5. If you have your Bibles, just keep them open to Daniel 1. We'll be kind of looking at that for the most part of the lesson this morning. Daniel 1:5. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of the time they may serve before the king. So here he is. He's going to have food, provisions made. But look at verse 8. This is the key of the lesson this morning. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. When you have a sudden change and you're the minority and you're away from home and you're away from your childhood friends, you're going to find out what's really important to you. You have choice. What Daniel decided to do, he says, I am not going to compromise what I know. You know, there's a lot of people, the world, by the way, would love this kind of commitment. You say, I believe in God, and you say that, but you've got this generic commitment where you'll just go with whatever goes, whatever moral choices people make, whatever jokes they tell, whatever things they do with alcohol or other things. You know, you just go along. Oh, the world loves that commitment. But you make a commitment where I'm going to do what is right. Get ready. You're going to be different. There will be social pressure and other pressure placed upon you. As I was coming home last night from a wedding, I got a text. There's a group over here that oftentimes has drinking parties. And I've talked with them over the years, and they actually don't. We used to have our lot with beer cans and other things, and they texted me, there's a bunch of people in your lot. It's not us. And so Walker and I came in last night driving in, and sure, there was some trash and there was some beer. There were some people trying to become part of, I guess, the sorority and fraternities. I guess this is a rush week, and they had parties, and I don't know, somehow people told them to park in our parking lot. And as you drove around Auburn last night, you saw a lot of young people walking everywhere. And I'm not saying all these young people were doing wrong, but I kind of think that they had been to drinking parties. And there were some that were drunk. You're going to find out in a hurry when you come to Auburn. It's not Athens anymore, or it's not Decatur, or wherever you're from. It is a major university, and there are going to be young people that no longer have the restraints of where they came from, and they're going to live like the world. You don't be one of those. That's what Daniel did. You know why you do that? Because you may no longer be in the presence of your parents, but you're in the presence of God. And there's one thing, what is right is Athens is right in Auburn. What is right over in France is right in any other place of the world because there is a God. All right, let's see how this works. Malachi 3:6. The Bible says, as God is trying to help his people understand, he says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O son of Jacob. You know, when you come, and I pray every one of you love God. I think that's one of the encouraging things about our students. Many students come here, and they really want to be a part of the church. Sometimes a decision, they come to Auburn. I'm very encouraged by that. And I believe that people who make choices like that come to know there is a God. They come to learn how to put themselves before God. They realize they're always in the presence of God. That's true for every one of us. I love Psalms 139 in verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall uphold me. You know, when you take that stand, you may be a minority singularly, but you're in the presence of God. And those who build such a faith, they're going to be fine. Because let me tell you what, if God doesn't change, his ways don't change. Psalms 119 and verse 10 says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Guess what, if you were Daniel at this time, did you get to bring your pocket Old Testament? Have you ever thought about that? Daniel probably no longer had any written Old Testament unless that which he would write down himself. What if it was that we were taken to another place and we no longer had the written scripture? How much would be hidden in our heart that we could stand and know? Daniel was one who knew and stood. And therefore, this sudden change, he was able to handle. Point number two this morning. Daniel's faith changed the people around him. You know, you need relationships. And I want to tell you, who your roommate is going to be important. Roommates affect you. Whom you want to do things with is very important. When you go out socially, who you want to be around is important. That is a huge element for all of us. And it's interesting here, Daniel, in verse 8, he is not going to eat of the king's delicacies. Why wouldn't he drink of the wine? It may have been that was strong drink. He wouldn't touch it. Some suggest it may have been sacrificed to idols. I don't know why he couldn't eat the food that the king provided, but he knew what God's word said. And there's conflict immediately. Look at verse 9 of Daniel 1. It says, "Now God brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs." And we'll read later that the eunuchs got afraid about this. "Daniel, what makes you so special? What are you doing? This is what the king eats. You're better than the king?" But you see, the eunuch, again, Daniel, I'm sure by faith, how does a person of faith show they're different from another person? You know, that's a struggle. You know, sometimes people are doing things and you can't do it. And, you know, you don't want to go up here, "Look at me, I'm Mr. Godly and you're Mr. Evil and this is what..." No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to come across in arrogance. But Daniel was able. And I think this eunuch could see that here was a man of principle and conviction. And I want to tell you, in the college environment, even though people may make fun of you, they may pull back from you initially, there's something about seeing a young person, a young man or woman that says, "I'm going to do this because I love God." Even the world respects that. And I appreciate the fact the Bible said that God made some provisions here. You know, how many of Daniel's countrymen took the same stand? I'm not sure there were many that did. And I don't want to discourage you, brethren, but some of the greatest discouragement that you may see as a young student may come on the pew next to you. As we talk about young people doing right and staying away from certain kind of things, there are going to be some of our young people that will do that. We've got a large enough student group, I know. That sometimes people ask me, "Why do your brethren believe about such a subject?" I said, "Well, we've got brethren to take both sides about every issue." And sometimes in practice, I see that. I hope that you'll be the one to stand and not be discouraged. Maybe when your brother and sister struggles and goes a direction they ought not to. But let me tell you, taking the stand for the Lord, it does two things. There will be people who respect you and you'll have a chance to influence them. And there are going to be some people that are going to be hostile to you. Look at, if you would, Genesis chapter 46. This is very interesting how God works. Did you know by you standing on moral principles, whether it be sexual immorality, whether it be drinking and drunkenness, whether it be, you know, the cheating that sometimes will take place in college, whatever it may be. There are various things out there morally. You don't get involved in the things that the world gets involved with. When you take such a stand, there are going to be some people that will cut you off. There are going to be others that respect you. Genesis 46, here is God giving advice through Joseph. Joseph gave this advice to his father. Here, Joseph's family was about to come into Egypt. Now listen to this advice. Verse 33 of Genesis 46. "So it shall be when Pharaoh calls you and says, 'What is your occupation?' Then you shall say, 'Your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth even until now, both we and our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen.'" Now notice this next statement. "For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians." And you're going to go, "What? You mean you're going to tell them up front you're a shepherd and the Egyptians hate shepherds?" Yes. Do you know why? God wants his people separated. As I suggested earlier, I don't want to go up to somebody and try to just aggravate them and try to impress them with how great I am. But on the other hand, I want people to know that I'm going to stand for something. And there are going to be some people that will not want to have anything to do with you because of your stand, and that is good. Relationships. You know what happened to Daniel? First thing that happened when he showed up in Babylon, they changed his name. And by the way, there were some other Israelites that stood with Daniel. Do you know their names? Look, notice, if you look at verse 6 of Daniel 1. Now from among those who were the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You're familiar with those guys, right? Well, wait. Maybe you're familiar with these names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those last three names there were not their names. That was the names given by the Babylonians. Daniel's name was changed from Daniel to Belshazzar, which means a servant of Baal. Hananiah, which means Jehovah is gracious, was changed to the name Shadrach, which means command of Aku, which is a moon god. Mishael, who is like God, was changed to Mishash, who is like a coup, and then Azariah, the Lord helps, to Abednego, the servant of Nebo, who is the son of Baal. Here was pressure all around them. Serve idols. Everybody serves idols, not these men. They are going to be different because they know the one true God. You know what this, let's talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know who the guys are, don't you? You've learned this from childhood. What did they do? By the way, they did this without Daniel. Where's Daniel in Daniel 3? I don't know. Maybe he was on a trip. But there came occasion where the king wanted them to bow down before this idol and worship this idol, and these three men wouldn't do it. They're like Daniel. Maybe Daniel was the one that influenced them. Maybe they were like a Daniel in the beginning. But in Daniel 3:12, it says, there are certain Jews who you have set over the affairs of the prophets of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods nor worship the gold image which you have set up. And so here, Nebuchadnezzar brings them in and says, hey guys, I don't know if you understand it, but I'm the king and you're going to die and you're going to be burned up. But you know what? This may be a misunderstanding. Let me give you a chance. Let me just explain it to you one more time. I'm sure you're going to go and go worship my God. And I love, as it is stated, these men, notice their response to the king in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is the case, our God whom we serve will be able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor do we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. The expression of his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that the heat of the furnace seven times be more than it was usually heated. It's kind of sad. Here, that killed his soldiers who threw him in. But these three men said, we're going to do what's right. Young people, do what's right. New students, come here to Auburn. I am going to do right. I'm going to be willing to be taught. If I'm wrong about something I want to know, I'm not going to be closed-minded. But what I'm going to do before my God, I am going to do what is right. God will bless you. You may be lonely for a little bit. It may take you a while to find those of common faith to connect with you, but I want to tell you, you can serve the Lord and He will protect you and provide for you, if you're willing to stand for Him. If you go back to Daniel 1, notice how the chief of the eunuch was influenced. Basically, verse 10, when he learned that Daniel was going to eat of this food, it says, the chief of the eunuch said to Daniel, I fear the Lord my king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men of your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. In reading of the context, basically, here's what happens. Here's what Daniel says. Listen, I'm telling you what the will of the Lord is, and I'm willing to have it tested. You know, there's something about those who serve God. We are not afraid to have our beliefs tested. And here it says there's a simple test here. Why don't you take a period of time, let me eat the food that I can do before my God, and you exclude this other food, and let's see what happens. I love this approach. And basically what happens, they do that. And you look at verse 15, it says, at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in the flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. And then the steward took away the fair portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Here was a case. Here's the will of the Lord. I'm willing to have it tested. You can have it tested. And in the end, the eunuch goes, you know what? You're right. Go that path. How about us? Look at 1 Peter 3:15. I don't think this is a stretch using this verse. As you live like a Christian, as you have the morals of a Christian, as you have a faith of a Christian, loving to be with other Christians, attending services, as it will be very obvious as the Word of God has influence upon you, you're going to be different from the culture, and there will come questions. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." You're going to have opportunities in college to teach people in ways you'll never have the rest of your life. Let me tell you how I can tell you not know that's so. I'm one of those that when I came to college, the actions of some Christians made a huge difference in my life, and I became a Christian. And so I want to know you have an opportunity in coming to the university. The relationships you make are critical. You know, I mentioned some of the social Greek organizations earlier. Sometimes I get people upset on saying this, but I will tell you frankly, I'm just going to tell you what I have seen here in Auburn. I don't know if we've ever had someone that's a Christian that chose to go that path that really stayed with us here in the church. You may say, why is that, Larry? Well, it may be some choices they have in dealing with their parties and alcohol and associations, but I want to tell you, you need to make some judgments and decisions where you can be with Christians and then you do not compromise your morals. And that's the thing, that you've got to make those good judgments. Roman numeral 3. Last point this morning. Daniel learned how to worship. Have you ever thought about this? Let's suppose you're a Jew, and when you want to go worship, there are certain things you do at the temple. There are certain things you do at the temple at certain times of the year. A lot of things surrounded the temple, and so here you are, you're a Jew. There's no temple. There was a temple when Daniel went to Babylon. But a few years later, he heard how that temple was destroyed. Now, how does a person become a faithful Jew and be a faithful Jew when there's no temple? That's not hard to answer at all. The person who worshiped in the temple, temple worship was some little tiny fraction of what he did in worship. The person, even the Jew in the old covenant, learned daily to put himself before God. Look at Psalm chapter 62 and verse 7. He says, "In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." The Jew, the Christian, whoever it is that served God, Old or New Testament, they recognize God is always there. And you talk to God, you pray to God. It's interesting what happened in Jeremiah's day. You know what Jeremiah's day? There were some people who said, you know what? The Babylonians cannot take Israel. You know why? The temple of the Lord is here. Look at Jeremiah 7:4. Basically, we're not reading it. But basically, they go, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord is this. And they thought the temple of the Lord to be kind of like some magnetic force, you know. Like it could be some weapon like the sons of Eli tried to do with the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. We're going to take that out in the battle and we're going to defeat our enemies because nothing could happen to the Ark of the Covenant. It was captured. Oh, they didn't realize that could happen. Nothing could happen to the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord was destroyed. And it was the first of two times it was going to be destroyed later in AD 70. In Ezekiel 14, my brethren, if we don't learn how to worship, this is not going to make much difference. You're going to be bored in a service like this. You may end up just showing up because you got to show up because that's the peer pressure you got. But when you learn to worship God, then all these other things fall into place. Look at Ezekiel 14 and verse 3. Here the problem in Daniel's day, the people that later were destroyed by God in this captivity, in the judgment of Babylon. He says, Ezekiel 14:3, Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put before them that which is causing them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? Verse 4. Therefore speak to them and say to them, Thus saith the Lord God, everyone of the house of Israel who sets up idols in his heart and puts before him that which causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes unto the prophet, I the Lord will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols. Verse 5. That I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they are all estranged from thee by their idols. Worship. One thing we cannot do here at this congregation or any congregation, if you do not know the Lord, if you do not know how to worship Him, if you are not totally committed to Him, no man can make you do that. Ezekiel couldn't do it. It's interesting. Look at Ezekiel 14:14. Here, by the way, Daniel, that you've been spoken of, he's in captivity. And back there in the land, this last group of people, they knew of Daniel. Ezekiel 14:14. Even if by these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they would only deliver themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord their God. It's repeated again in verse 20. Even though Daniel, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither son or daughter, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. What am I saying? Love God. So important as you make faith your own is apart from anybody else that you put yourself before God. College can be humbling. And I think this could be a great opportunity for you to develop a personal faith in God. I have in the outline a quote from, it was actually Seth Buchanan, a student here about 4 or 5 years ago. He had a lesson on loneliness. And here's the point he made. He says, the first thing I learned at Auburn was that living on your own isn't always all it's cracked up to be. You have to cook for yourself, or eat Taco Bell, and that gets old in a hurry, I want to tell you. You have to pay bills and clean house. Until I moved down here, I thought my clothes just magically cleaned themselves. Once you get used to all of that, other problems begin to creep up. There are new friends, but none of them fulfilling that best friends forever role at first. You miss out on what's going on at home, friends, church, younger siblings. Then I realized that I had no one to share the day with. Loneliness. Most of our new students, and I think we have between 40 and 50 new students, this first semester you are going to have, at some point, maybe you'll be the exception, you're going to have some homesickness. And by the way, it's okay to go home, get mama's cooking. It's okay to have some occasion to go home, but you're going to feel deep within inside. That loneliness is going to bring some questions. How do I fill that void? Let it come first by learning to worship. Learning to go to God in prayer. Learning to read the Bible on your own. And then let it be fulfilled by coming to assemblies. In Psalms 122:1, the Bible says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. If you'll make your effort as you come to here to Auburn to put God first, to make relationships with other Christians, to make these assemblies as a place of encouragement, and I pray we will. We'll do everything we can. You will find over time your learning to worship will change you. You'll mature. You'll learn. You'll have people you can trust that'll help you when you fall. I pray that this will be a time for all of us to be strengthened. Look at Daniel 6. Let's talk about Daniel. Daniel had a sudden change when he went to Babylon. Did you know what wasn't his last sudden change? Babylon fell one night. And that's where Belshazzar was ready to give, make him, second in the kingdom or something like that. And Daniel didn't care because that night the Chaldeans came in, and not the Chaldeans, but the Persians came in. And now there's a new country. Guess what? He comes into a new country. He's placed in a high position. And the next thing you know, they're going to try to stab him in the back. There were people that didn't like his position. Look at Daniel 6 and verse 10. There was a writing that said you couldn't pray to another god. And Daniel knew they were going to do this. But you know what Daniel did? He did what he always did. Daniel 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God, and they made charge. You know what you're going to do here in Auburn? You've probably done it before you come to Auburn. You're building foundation. Learning to worship and make it your own. Learning to stand in the midst of being a minority. These are the times you can build a character and a life and the faith that will take you throughout this life into eternity. I will be honest with you. For me personally, my college time was a time where I built almost every foundation that I have today. I became a Christian in college. I was taught how to teach others in college. I had to make decisions, spiritual decisions, and I ended up having to leave a church that was drifting and going another path and take a stand in college. And by the way, students, you have opportunities in this area. There are all kinds of churches in this area. And just like all the choices that you need to make, you need to let the Word of God dictate. Who's standing? These are decisions you must make, and you learn to make them now, and you do it with an open and good heart. These foundations will carry you the rest of your life. You learn to worship. Let's close with Jesus in Luke chapter 6. Our young people, we could do this one and our young people would be ready in a moment. The wise man built his house upon the rock. This is what we're talking about as you begin this new phase of your life. In Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it is founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You're not alone here. The next 4 to 6 weeks for our new students is going to be critical. I hope you'll make connection with other students and people here. We want to do everything we can to connect with you. But I want you to know that when you connect to God and put Him first, you will never be alone. I've always been grateful for those older couples as well as students that took this geeky, kind of off-balance 18-year-old kid into their home and helped them when I was in college. And I pray that we can do the same for you. Parents, don't let this be the last time you come down here. We urge you to come and visit, check on things. I pray that together we can help one another go to heaven and serve God. Daniel was the one that God used basically to rebuild the nation of Israel. When you begin to live like a Daniel, there will be doors of opportunities that are open, and God will take you places you never would dream that He would take you, and it will be a blessing. Let us all pray to God. Let us all take our stand. And I pray that we can together, all of us as Daniel, serve God faithfully in this hostile culture. If you're not a Christian this morning, we want to extend that invitation, the invitation that, again, is different from the world. In Acts 2:38, a passage we quote quite a bit here, but I want to take one word to really look at it. Acts 2:38, there were those that were about to take a stand against their Jewish upbringing. And we talked about in Bible class this morning how the difference in the covenants and how becoming a Christian, leaving the Jewish faith, was a tremendous pressure. They had to be Daniels. The early Christians were very much Daniels. In Acts 2:36, the conclusion of the sermon is this: therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, now notice this word, repent. Repentance is a total change of the will. Repentance is a surrender of that thing that is very hard for us to surrender. And that is what I want to do. In order to repent, you've got to be cut, as this verse indicates. You've got to be humbled. And you say, Lord, your way, whatever it is, your way, teach me, I will learn. It's an open heart. Now notice, it says repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is a day that you can become a Christian. And everyone who becomes a Christian is kind of like Daniel. That's a sudden change. You go back into the relationships you have and the job that you have or the school that you're in, and now you're going to be different. But it's different with God blessing you. And you have a family to surround you to help you. Whatever your need may be this morning, we want to extend that invitation to all of us. Let each of us have that heart of repentance. And let us be determined to follow the path God gives us. He'll bless us in it. If you need to respond in any way, would you come as we stand and sing?